Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Fix it or nix it? That's the question I have. And of course, we're talking about the Iranian deal. Just this morning, on Monday's headlines on Israel National News, they're stating also Macron, that's the French leader, is saying that Trump leaving the nuclear deal could lead to war. And he's not the only one saying that, by the way. The French president warns that war could ensue if Trump withdraws from the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. Well, I have a lot to say about that, and so does my guest, because we're not talking about the Prime Minister of Israel trying to convince Trump to leave the deal because Iran is dangerous for Israel. Iran is dangerous for the world. Israel may be just the first target. It may not even be the first target. Maybe the United States, God forbid, will also be the first target. We don't know. Iran chants death to America, just as they chant death to Israel. They say it together. They burn the flags together. Israel is the little Satan, but America is the big Satan in their eyes. So this is not about Israel. This is about the safety of the world. And that's what our Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to warn the world. We're going to be speaking today with Dr. Martin Sherman, who's going to weigh in on the issue. You can too. That's why we do live shows. So you have a chance to call in and join us on the air and weigh in on the issue. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We'd love to hear from you. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening in from all over the world, from all over the United States, Argentina, the Dominican Republic, France, Cyprus, Israel, etc., etc. Great to see you here. Also, join me in the chat room. It's so much fun. It's the orange button on our player or on our website, israelnewstalkradio.com. Press on the orange button. Log into the chat room with your Twitter or your Facebook, or even anonymously. We don't care. Just join us and let's have some fun together in the chat room. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
All right, so fix it or nix it. That, of course, is about the deal with Iran. And on May 12th, U.S. President Donald Trump will decide what to do, fix it or nix it. And in the meantime, leaders and pundits are worried and warning that there could be a war with Iran if Trump pulls out of the nuclear deal. I want to say here again and repeat this, that a lot of people are thinking that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is a troublemaker, that he's trying to control Trump like a puppet, telling him that you've got to take care of Iran because he's worried about Israel. But this is wrong. This is incorrect, because this is not an Israel problem. Iran is a world problem. Let's remember, when they are burning the Israeli flag, they are burning the American flag. When they are stepping on the flags and screaming death to Israel, they are stepping on the American flag and screaming death to America. Israel little Satan. United States, big Satan. So this is not an Israel problem. This is a world problem. And I want to ask the question again, what would happen if he nixed the deal? Can he fix the deal? Is it good? Is it better to swallow the threats of Iran and take the chance that there may be a war now as opposed to a war later? I say better a war now when Iran does not have the bomb and delivery system for it than to wait when Iran will have the bomb and the delivery system for it. Here to tell us more about this topic, and again, you're free to call in wherever you are listening in from, call into the show and weigh in on the issue. Our guest today is Dr. Martin Sherman. He is the founder and director of the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. You can find him at www.martinsherman.org or strategic-israel.org. Welcome to the show, Dr. Martin Sherman.
Thank you for having me.
Very good to have you on. So leaders in the international community are warning that there may be war with Iran if Trump nixes the Iran nuclear deal. So what would happen if Trump pulls out?
Well, you know, for all its saber-rattling, Iran is not really in such a good position. You know, at home, they're faced with domestic rebellion. There's certainly unrest across the country. There's a huge water problem, which is threatening to displace millions of people. There's spiraling unemployment, despite the lifting of the sanctions. And I understand, as recently published in the New York Times, that there is a very grave currency problem with the Iranian currency. So in many ways, Iran is not as strong as it seems. And we've seen twice, when faced with tough action, Iran is backed down. In 2003, with the strong American presence in Iraq, they backed away from their nuclear program and basically suspended it, and only renewed it when they felt that the threat was no longer credible. And what brought them to the table was the sanctions imposed more or less on the previous administration by Congress. I think that in many ways the threat of war with Iran is something, a specter that the deal supporters are raising in order to intimidate the people who think that it needs far-reaching changes to fix it fundamentally or nix it.
Let me ask you this question. What do the Europeans find in this deal with Iran that is benefiting them? Are they selling things to Iran and they're making money? What is their interest?
Well, I would say the short answer is yes. I think they see a lot of economic benefits. The Europeans have always preferred to appease, you know, sort of throw others to the crocodile and hoping that the crocodile won't eat them. But, you know, in many ways, Europeans have a lot to worry about. You know, the Iranians are financing international terror. I don't think they would balk at financing terror operations with inside Europe. If the ballistic missile program continues, European capitals, especially Eastern European capitals, might be within range of Iranian missiles. You know, remember when the revolution began, the first thing the Iranians did was take over the American embassy. So, as you pointed out in your introduction, it's not only an Israeli problem, this is an international problem.
If you were Trump, what would you do?
Well, you know, I think I certainly would nix it. You know, I don't believe, as Zarif said yesterday very clearly, there's no real prospect of persuading the Iranians to fix it in any fundamental way. And, you know, why should they? They've been given this tremendous deal where they got all their money up front. They didn't have to prove any goodwill at the beginning. They got all this money, billions of dollars. And by the way, it's probably very doubtful whether Iran would be in Syria if it hadn't been for the deal. You know, the deal basically has enriched the current regime economically, empowered them militarily, and entrenched them politically, and made any real resolution of the problem much more remote. because I believe that in the short run, the only way to deal with the problem is to reintroduce severe sanctions, biting sanctions, backed up with a credible threat of military action. And that doesn't mean you have to invade Iraq. And I'll come back to that point in a minute. But in the long run, the only real solution is regime change by replacing the current regime with a far more sort of pro-Western secular regime. The current agreement makes that far more remote because, as I said, the incumbent regime now has been empowered militarily and enriched economically and entrenched politically. Although, as I said before, there is growing unrest across Iran. Sanctions the lifting of sanctions haven't brought the benefits that the population expects. I think the regime, the administration, should do everything to try and induce a regime change. Because in the long run, I don't think the current ayatollahs the incumbent ayatollahs can be counted on to follow a policy that is consistent with international stability and peace. But what I said before, the threat of military action doesn't have to be the threat of another ground war in Asia. Americans have proven time and time again that they can bring down any regime with a combination of air power and special forces, like in Serbia, and by the way, largely in Afghanistan and Iraq as well. If you look at the expenditure on the last two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, well over 95% of the expenditure was incurred after the Taliban were dislodged and Saddam Hussein was caught. So the rest of the money, the bulk of the money, was spent on trying to introduce democracy on the slopes of the Toro Boro and the banks of the Euphrates River. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. What I'm suggesting is that the strike must be such that it can bring down the regime. The replacement regime is something that the Iranians must decide for themselves without American involvement. And I think the situation on the ground in Iran is far different from that in Iraq. I think there would probably be a much better chance of a stable regime taking over Iraq if the Ayatollahs were displaced than there would be in, say, was the case in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
You know, I just want to say here that I also believe that it's a ripe time now to go in and support and assist the People's Revolution in Iran. I just saw an article where the people said that they're sick and tired of hearing about Palestine, Palestinians, Israel. They don't care about it. The women are sick of wearing the hijab. They're sick of being told what to do and being kept at home. They're tired of the bad economy. They're tired of the bad low currency rates that they have. Their economic situation is bad, and they want a regime change, and they've been begging the United States to support them, and if not support them, at least not to be in their way. And this is one way that we can get rid of this regime. But following that, I want to ask you this question, and I'll have you think about it over the break, because we're just about to go to a break. But I want to just pose this to you as a possibility. When someone has their back to the wall, sometimes they think there's no other way except to, you know, fight back, and what comes, you know, what will be, and that's all. And perhaps if the present regime feels that A, they're not going to take any more humiliation from the West and from Israel, B, they're not going to, they feel that they're not going to be voted back into office by their own citizens because they're having trouble with them, they may just want to say, you know what? We believe in the Mahdi. We want to bring in our Messiah. We're just going to go for it. You know, just like poker. We're just going to go all for it, throw all the chips in, and they'll land where they land, and that's it. But we're going to go for it now. This is our opportunity because the future looks even bleaker. So I'm just going to have you think about that as we go to the break. I want to encourage all of our listeners, if you have a comment or question. If you want to weigh in on the issue, you agree, you disagree, that's fine. Call in. We want to hear from you. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Stay with us. Give us a call. Join us in the chat room. And we'll be talking more about this very important topic that could, God forbid, bring the world into a World War III. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, so fix it or nix it. And we're again talking about the deal with Iran. U.S. President Donald Trump is supposed to make a decision on this by May 12th, and we're going to find out what's going on there. In the meantime, leaders around the world and pundits are saying that if Trump does nix the deal, there could be war. And where will that war be? We're not talking just about Israel. We're also talking about the United States and the Western world. So when I got off at the last segment, Dr. Martin Sherman, we were speaking about maybe the Khomeini's, the regime there is a little bit feeling insecure, not sure they're going to be able to keep power in Iran. They've got some missiles and firepower bases in Syria. They're controlling the Hezbollah. They're controlling the war in Yemen right now against the Saudis. They're not in the worst position in the world. What's to stop them from feeling too threatened that they're just going to strike back and the chips will fall where they fall?
Well, let me say two things about that. First of all, that may be a distinct possibility. But we've seen before that the Iranians have backed down when faced with what they saw as credible threats. In 2003, as I mentioned, they backed away from their nuclear program until they felt that they needed, they did not need to fear the United States anymore. What brought them to the table was the impact of ongoing sanctions. So, I'm not quite sure what kind of rationality we can impart to the theocracy in Tehran, but on the one hand, if you say that, then the logic then would be for the United States or Israel to attack as soon as possible, because if you believe that you can't deter a weak, impoverished, non-nuclear Iran, how can you believe that later, when they will be richer, stronger, and nuclear, or at least near nuclear, that you would be able to deter them? So, you know, I don't think that there is any real option, because if you allow them to continue with their development, within a few years, they definitely will be nuclear. If you allow them to carry on trading with the rest of the world, they will certainly will be richer. So why would the position be any better later than it would be today? I think there is a very real possibility that the Iranians will respond to Israeli attacks in Syria. You know, I'm sure if the same thing had happened to Israel, Israel would probably respond as well. The question is, can we preempt the attack, and or can we defend ourselves?
What would be a good deterrent factor in order to keep Iran at bay?
Well, I think Israel's done quite a lot to show that what they can do, both in terms of intelligence, while the recent Netanyahu expose, and both in terms of operational capability, by the recent attack attributed to Israel, which apparently destroyed 200 Iranian rockets and may have even killed Iranian personnel. I'm not sure that Israel can do much more currently to deter, other than convey to the Iranians, perhaps through through third parties what the consequences would be of Iranian aggression, perhaps even in Iran. I mean, you know, the Iranians might back down if they knew that much of the infrastructure was in danger, their bridges, their dams, their power stations, their communication centers. If they knew that was under tangible threat, they may well back down. But I think you have to be a committed betting man to try and second guess the Ayatollahs.
So it's interesting because you're saying that a military hit on Iran in order to keep them at bay doesn't necessarily have to be killing people, but taking out some of their infrastructure, like you said, like their electricity, their bridges, transportation, etc., etc.
Well, I think that would be the goal of an Israeli attack, certainly of an American attack. As I say, you don't have to commit the United States to another ground war in Asia, you know, having just emerged from two ground wars in Asia, actually not quite even emerged, but having the experience of two ground wars in Asia, I don't think the Americans are very keen to get involved in a third large-scale ground operation. But as I said before, Americans have shown that with very little, relatively very little resources, they can bring down virtually any regime, which they did, you know, across the globe, in Serbia, in Afghanistan, and in Iraq. I don't think that there's any doubt that, a sustained air campaign against Iran combined with special forces and covert action could seriously undermine the current regime.
Now, there's worries that Iran is going to be attacking Israel in retaliation for some of the attacks Israel supposedly made on Iranian bases in Syria. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that's a real concern. You know, and the big unknown here is the Russian factor and how much freedom of action the Russians will give or allow the Israeli Air Force to A, perhaps intercept and B, retaliate for that for such an attack. I mean, one thing is clear, if Iran does attack, I think Israel will have to retaliate. And I think the retaliation would have to be is such that it would be perceived by many people as a bit disproportionate, because, you know, in many ways proportionality only breeds escalation. Because if you confine your response to what the other side considers proportionate, then the next time they respond, they will have a greater form of aggression, and then you would respond with proportionate means. And slowly you will find, as has happened in the past in many cases, by trying to keep your response proportional, you escalate violence rather than contain it.
Right. I agree with you there that it has to be taken care of fast, immediately, and effectively. Because if it's not, it just lingers and keeps going on and on and on. So you want to cut their arms off so they can't do anything and make any more trouble.
Not only that, the hostilities continue, the more the other side has to improve its capabilities and learn of yours. And so, you know, in this case, I think a shock and awe would be the prudent response.
You know, they say that in the articles that are coming out now about this possible attack by Iran, it says here, Israeli security officials are saying that Iran is planning to take revenge on the strikes on their bases in Syria and are looking to hit Israeli targets in the north with missiles from inside Syria. But I'm thinking that why would Iran want to make a frontal attack on Israel when they've got their proxies, the Hezbollah in Lebanon, who also is armed with thousands of missiles and can hit Israel, and then they deflect the focus off of Iran, and the focus is on the Hezbollah in Lebanon and not on the Iran and Syria?
Well, the only answer to that is why they would do that directly and not through some proxy is because of national pride, to show, you know, that they can do it directly against Israel, and they don't want to deny the Iranian origin of the attack. In fact, they would like to emphasize it. You know, they seem to have tried that with apparently with an explosive drone that was brought down a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, from the point of view of national pride, they may not be able to back away from actually identifying the attack with Iran itself and not through some proxy.
We only have about 2.5 minutes left, and I want to get your take on what the rumors have been going around. It's been on the Maariv and the Jerusalem Post, etc., that there's going to be a price to pay for U.S. President Donald Trump moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, and that price will be to Israel that it will have to go for a two-state solution, giving up 4 neighborhoods in the eastern part of Jerusalem in order to make a Palestinian capital in Jerusalem and for a Palestinian state, and that the holy sites will become internationalized, etc. What do you have to say about that?
Well, why would anyone want to repeat the Gaza experiment on the fringes of our capital? I mean, you've seen what happened when Israel withdraws its authority from territory. We've seen that happen in South Lebanon. We've seen that happen in Gaza. Every time Israel pulls out, the control, the governmental control, falls to the most extreme violent elements. And why would anyone think that would be a good idea, more to range from the Israeli capital? I would consider this an extremely dangerous move. And I think there are people in the Trump administration who can be convinced of the danger and the imbecility of such a move.
But yet, if this is true, they've sat in committees, they've come up with this plan. It hasn't been something that just somebody threw on the table. It's something that they've agreed to. This is what they're telling our defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, when he was in Washington. And
well, that may be true, but you know, people sat for a long time on the disengagement. I don't know if you ever saw the debate in the Knesset on the disengagement. How many people, including former chiefs of staff like Shaul Mofaz, and experienced politicians, telling everyone how this move would bring about stability and the world opinion, etc., etc. So, you know, I don't think the fact that government officials sit and talk can replace common sense and past experience.
Well, we certainly hope not. All right, Dr. Martin Sherman, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Very interesting, some of the things that you had to say and some unique ideas that should be listened to about how to prevent loss of life and to protect people around the world, including Iranian citizens. Anybody who wants to follow Dr. Martin Sherman can do so at his website, martinsherman.org, or strategic-israel.org. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
When we get back, we'll be taking your calls and talking about more news that's happening here in the Middle East that can affect you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
All right, it's just you and me now on the air, so now is your time and your chance to call in if you want to weigh in on the issues. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what is going on. I mean, we're talking about a possible war, and if not war, possible attacks, which is always something that could lead to war, and that can be deadly for people. So call into the show. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. You should call now so I'll have a chance to get you on. Our technician has to answer the phone. He has to ask for your name and where you're calling from. We don't need your full name, just your first name's good. And then get you on the air, etc., etc. So call now so we can get you on the air and you don't call too late. All right. So we see what Israel is facing now and we see what the world is facing. I just want to go over a few points again because I really want to drill this into your head. So if you happen to be talking to other people and they're saying Israel's a warmonger, why is Netanyahu trying to push Trump into going out of a deal? Don't they know that a bad deal is better than no deal? You will have an answer for them. We know that it's better if, God forbid, we have to fight a war with Iran, if they're going to open up war against us. And when I say us, I mean the world. Better before they have nuclear weapons than after they would have nuclear weapons. Now, we didn't listen to common sense back before World War II when Churchill gave in to Hitler and let him ride, giving him a free ticket to go to grow stronger and swallow up Czechoslovakia. And the world paid a price for that, with millions upon millions upon millions killed. And I'm not just talking about soldiers, I'm talking about civilians. We need to learn from the past and not ignore these lessons in history. If Hitler was stopped when he tried to take Czechoslovakia, he would have seen he can't get away with it. He can't get away with it. There'll be repercussions, there will be consequences, but there weren't consequences. What he got was applause. Oh, look, Churchill made peace. We're not going to have a confrontation now. So they waited, and the confrontation came anyway, and the confrontation came much more deadly. The same here with Iran. I mean, let's change name here for a moment. If the Hamas, who is always saying, oh, they want peace, they have all these Europeans coming in who love the quote-unquote Arabs who call themselves Palestinians, and the Arabs are the underdogs, they think, and they're going there in order to, on these peace missions. So the Hamas is always throwing the word peace around, tossing the word peace around. And if they told the world, hey, we're working on something, and no, we don't have any nuclear weapons, let's sign a deal where you're going to help us, the Hamas, and And in the meantime, the Hamas is working on nuclear weapons. Would you want the Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, to have nuclear weapons? Don't forget, the Hamas is being assisted by Iran. Iran can give, if they have the bomb, to anybody they want as well. It's been said, and I've read this in different articles, that Iran has a military base, not just in Syria, but in Nicaragua. Why would they have a military base in Nicaragua? And the answer would be, in my opinion, it's easier and closer to attack the big Satan, America. Death to America. That's what they want. We need in the West to realize that not everybody thinks like us. Not everybody shares our values, where the Western people want peace and want prosperity and want comfort. The Eastern Hemisphere of the world despises that. They look at that as weakness and as not being honorable. Where Americans want prosperity and comfort, the Eastern Hemisphere, the Arab Islamic world, wants victory, strength, the battle. They want to prove their masculinity and their power. They don't care about comfort. Look how they live. They don't care about prosperity. Look how they live. And you can't make peace with an entity that doesn't value peace. As I've said numerous times, Israel has peace with all of the Arabs. That is, with all of the Arabs who want peace. The only Arabs Israel doesn't have peace with are the Arabs who don't want peace. So you can't make peace with an entity that doesn't want peace. And here we have Iran. Iran's not looking for peace. Iran is looking for power. Iran is looking to renew its lost empire, the Persian Empire. Iran is not looking to make friends. They may smile. They may talk nice. but so do merchants in the marketplace as they're trying to cheat you on their wares and get the highest price they can from you and empty your pockets. You're not their friend. They're not interested in being your friend. And the sooner that the West realizes this and wakes up, the longer they'll survive. What do they say? Paranoid people live longer. Europe, who is doing business deals with Iran, it might be prosperous for them now. It might be comfortable for them now. But in the meantime, Iran is building up and getting stronger and will swallow Europe in one bite. Death to America. Israel, the little Satan, but America is the big Satan. So if anybody tries to tell you that Netanyahu, in his big event where he exposed all the things that the Mossad found, instead of saying, wow, thank you, Israel, for exposing this and letting us know, thank you, they're saying instead that Netanyahu is a troublemaker. And that Israel and the Israeli government is trying to control Trump for their benefit so America can save Israel. But how many times has Israel been able to help save America? When we took out the Iraqi nuclear reactor in Osirik back in 1981, I think it was, and the world, including the United States, condemned us. And yet, about 10 years later, America found itself at war with Saddam Hussein. Could you imagine what would have happened in that war if Israel didn't destroy the nuclear reactor and Saddam Hussein had nuclear bombs and used it against America? And American interests? Can you imagine? It was only a decade later that America, the leadership there, realized the thing that Israel did, the wonderful, important thing that Israel did, and then a decade later, very late, thanked us for doing what we did. Today, again, Israel is warning the world of the dangers of Iran getting the bomb. Iran not afraid to use the bomb. Iran ideologically motivated to use the bomb, as well as politically motivated. So now is the time to stop this evil regime that hates the West, also hates Israel, and would use this. Better to nip it in the bud now, and better for the Iranian people, who also are against the government that's in charge now. Iran is made up of many different populations, not just Iranians and not just Shiites. There are Christians there, there are Balochs there, there are other ethnic groups there that are being, what's the word I'm looking for? That the government is coming down on them, that they're not getting a fair shake with their government because they're the minorities and they would like to see that government go. They would like to change their government. And I believe that the United States and the Western countries should help these people, the People's Revolution, get rid of this evil empire, this evil dictatorship that is subjugating women, that has taken away human rights. If you say anything, write anything. If you're a journalist, you can't write bad about the regime. They'll throw you in jail for 20 years, if not kill you. These are oppressed people. Thank you, Gordon, in the chat room. These are oppressed people. And it would be the right thing to do to help them. And the right thing to do is what the world should be doing. When you see evil, nip it in the bud. We, Israel, was once friendly with the Iranians when the Shah was in power. There was business deals between us, commerce, business. It was great. The Khomeinis took over, the Islamic extremists, and that ended any relationship, any friendly relationship with Israel. And the West, by the way, because Iran used to be a Western friendly nation. Get rid of this evil regime for the goodness of the world, for the benefit of the world. Listen to Benjamin Netanyahu. Thanks for being with us. Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.